Now to the science of so-called megafires, as unprecedented blazes continue to wreak havoc across the western United States. Since August, dozens of fires have burned in Oregon, California and Washington State, torching several entire towns, destroying thousands of homes and killing at least 35 people. Officials and scientists say the wildfires are unprecedented in their scale and ferocity, having exploded into some places where they were previously rare. Michael Kotis is a former firefighter himself and the author of Megafire, The Race to Extinguish a Deadly Epidemic of Flame. He's also Deputy Director of the Society for Environmental Journalists and is with us from Boulder, Colorado. Michael, hello.
Hi.
What is it that you define as megafires?
Well, the U.S. Forest Service defines a megafire as any wildfire of 100,000 acres. That's about 40,000 hectares. I define it a little bit differently. We have always had fires of that size. We have far more of them now. But in remote forests, it's not that unusual to have a big fire like that. Whereas we have lots of smaller fires that kill people, destroy homes, threaten infrastructure or resources that we're dependent on, like watersheds, that can have a lot more mega impacts than, you know, a very big fire. And so while what we're looking at on the West Coast right now are very, very large fires in general, very often it's smaller fires that are more deadly or have bigger impacts to society. And I feel those are just as mega.
What is happening on the West Coast at the moment as a phenomenon? What is it?
Well, in California, it's been really unusual in that, although they do have wildfires in the summer, their peak fire season is still weeks away. And for more than a month now, they have had epic wildfires that have behaved entirely differently than what they've seen in the past. And this comes on several years of other record-setting fires. But the ones that ignited last month blew up to that mega size of, you know, 40,000 hectares or larger, sometimes in a day. It overran forests that typically don't burn, did all kinds of things like burning very intensely through the night when fires usually slow down and calm down. So they've been very, very difficult to fight. And then other fires in Oregon and Washington, which is a bit farther north on the West Coast, have behaved similarly and burned right through towns, you know, right up to the edges of cities.
What about other phenomena we're hearing about? Firenados and lightning strikes. Can you explain their relevance and whether they are common or not?
Firenados, themselves, you know, fire whirls that you would see spinning fire going up, 10 or 20 meters above a fire are not uncommon. What we saw happen in California was actually the fire created what they call a pyrocumulonimbus cloud. So basically a giant thunderstorm formed on top of the smoke plume, thousands of feet up into the atmosphere, probably higher than 20,000 feet in the air. And an actual tornado came down from that cloud back into the fire. It was the first time ever that the U.S., the National Weather Service, actually put out a tornado warning for a tornado that was created by a weather system that formed from a wildfire. The lightning issue is more an instance of ignitions. There was a freak series of thunderstorms over California near San Francisco and in the Bay Area about a month ago. At a time of year when they see almost no lightning normally, these storms dropped around 12,000 lightning strikes, and about one in five of those started a wildfire. It's hard to say at this point, just so soon after this phenomenon occurred, that climate change was a contributor to that, but the lightning storms that they saw are something that has happened only one or two times in recorded history. And all of those, lightning strikes, creating fires proved incredibly challenging to firefighters. And a number of those fires grew to, 100,000 acres or larger and are still burning and largely uncontained.
What is the situation with respect to history and changing climate? How much of what you mentioned, California has a fire season, how much of what we're seeing now and perhaps saw in the last fire season is at the extreme of what is normal, and how much is likely driven by climate change?
Well, climate change is a distinct driver of the wildfire problem around the world, what we've seen in Australia and Siberia just a few months ago, but particularly here in the United States. In California, the temperatures have been notably warmer, and the explosion of wildfires that they saw a month ago coincided with what they call a heat dome in the western United States that spread from California to where I am in the Rocky Mountains in Colorado. That led to a temperature of 130 degrees in Death Valley. Some meteorologists say that that is the hottest temperature ever recorded reliably on the planet. So much hotter and much drier. And that's led to some unprecedented conditions for the fuels in California. For example, the ongoing drought, which has been going on for about 5 years and came after another bad drought in California, has led to about 165 million trees dying in California just since 2010. So those trees are a huge amount of fuel and are very dense in areas where these fires are burning most intensely. And we're seeing that across the country, drier and warmer conditions due to climate change leading to worse wildfires. There are a number of other drivers of the fire problem in this country that is laid on top of to make it even worse.
Well, the president's mentioned one, which is forest management. And are there issues with forest management that are setting, as you say, setting the kindling in some ways for the climate change?
There's definitely a forest management issue. There's aside to President Trump's comment that has been underreported, which is that the forests that are badly overgrown in California are largely on federal land. So actually, President Trump is who is in charge of managing those forests. Only about 3% of the forests that really need thinning are under the jurisdiction of the state of California. However, we have a problem with that throughout the West, largely due to, ironically, putting out too many fires in the past. And some forest types here in the United States burned as often as every 5 years, with low intensity ground fires that cleared out a lot of the debris and ground fuels that President Trump has complained about. And we've had kind of a zero tolerance policy towards wildfire for about a century. So you put out every fire in those forests that burned every 5 years for a century, it's not difficult math to figure out that you're going to have exponentially more fuel. And the country has not figured out what the best way is to try to clear those out. In some of these forests, it's incredibly difficult to thin them because they're in very rugged terrain where firefighters and loggers can't get to, with cliffs and bluffs. And it's also very difficult to reintroduce fire to these landscapes when they're that overgrown, because fire is not going to burn through them the same way it did historically. Another issue that we've got in California is development, where the cost of housing in places like Los Angeles and San Francisco has been so high that it's pushed development into very flammable landscapes to provide affordable housing for everybody that lives in California. And then you provide power to those people, and those power lines spark a lot of fires. Pacific Gas and Electric, which is the main utility in California and the largest utility of its kind in the country, actually has been in bankruptcy because of the people that have been killed in wildfires started by its power lines. And that's led the utility to have huge blackouts to areas of California in bad fire weather because they're so frightened that their power lines will cause more deadly wildfires.
The other factor I think you've mentioned already are some political and economic decisions. And what are they when it comes to dealing with wildfires? What is it that have created as many problems as they've solved?
Well, we talk in the United States about the fire industrial complex. Back in the early 1990s, the United States spent about $3 million a year fighting, preparing for, and recovering from wildfires. That number easily tops $3 billion a year, and certainly will this year with how bad these fires are. And about half of that money goes to the private sector. When you see an airplane dropping that red retardant on a fire, that's almost always a private contractor, a private company that has been brought in to fight that fire. The bulldozers, the showers, and the commissaries for the firefighters, all those are private contractors who want to fight every fire because they want to make as much money as they can, but also aren't necessarily considering the safety issues or whether it's ecologically sound to fight all these fires that they're fighting. So we end up running out of money virtually every August or September to fight wildfires in the United States because they just constantly break the budget, spending so much money fighting fires. And to come up with the money to continue fighting the fires, they have to raid other pots of money. And usually those pots are the pots of money that are set aside to prepare for the next bad wildfire. So a lot of the thinning operations we were just talking about end up underfunded because all that money has to be spent fighting fires.
For incident commanders and fire scientists, the vast portion of the country in which large fires are burning simultaneously, or significant portion anyway, is that also as unusual and troubling, perhaps, as the size and speed of some of these fires?
That's been incredibly challenging, and this year more than probably any in history. We divide our big nation up into a bunch of zones, and the top leaders of our wildfire fight can then follow fire seasons as they move around the country. Our nation has different fire seasons at different times of year. For instance, California's normal peak fire season is in the fall, just coming up. Whereas out where I live, it's more early in the summer. Arizona and New Mexico, it's often late in the spring and into early summer. So usually when you've got bad fires in one area of the country, the other areas of the country are a lot quieter, so you can move all the aircraft and resources to the place that really needs them and not worry so much about others. But we have mega fires burning in half a dozen states all over the country right now. The state where I live in Colorado has its largest wildfire in history burning right now as well, and probably another fire that's going to be the second largest in history. So they've got to have resources here, as well as all of these resources in California and in Oregon. And that really spreads firefighters and all of the supplies that they need to do this job safely and effectively very, very thin. We have another complication this year with the coronavirus pandemic, in which usually when you're fighting a wildfire, you're working shoulder to shoulder with a bunch of other people and then sleeping together in a big fire camp, and that is a recipe for spreading that disease. So they're having to manage these fires very differently. They're already short-staffed, and in California, where sometimes as many as half of the firefighters on a wildfire are actually prison inmates who've been trained to fight wildfires, they lost all of that personnel because they had to shut down a lot of the prison firefighting camps because they got infected with the coronavirus.
Michael, a new paper out recently from the National Center of Atmospheric Research, I think the University of California, claimed that climate change has already doubled the risk of extreme fire weather conditions in California, and it will double again over the next couple of decades. Perhaps more than double. Is that consistent with your research? And what on earth is it going to mean for fire management and planning, urban life, everything else?
It's very consistent with my research, and I was writing, 5 or 6 years ago about Forest Service research that anticipated at least a doubling of the amount of acreage burning in wildfires in the United States. Back in 2015, for the first time in the Forest Service record, we had 10 million acres burn in a single year. To give you a bit of perspective, in the 1970s, that average for the decade was about 3 million acres a year. So, you know, that was more than three times what we saw in the 1970s on average. And we broke that record again just 2 years later in 2017. And now they're thinking that that will double again to probably 20,000 acres a year. It means that we'll have a number of years like we're seeing right now with megafires burning in various parts of the country. But it also means that parts of the country that have typically not been very flammable are going to become increasingly flammable as it gets hotter there and they dry out. And we've already seen that as well. Just a few years ago in Tennessee, which is normally a place that is very moist and particularly in the fall very cool, had a very deadly and destructive wildfire in November, which is, you know, our fall season, our autumn season. And we're starting to see more and more fires in areas like that. So it's not just going to be that the fires are much bigger and much faster and more difficult to fight in areas where we traditionally fight wildfires, but we're going to start seeing these fires in areas where we haven't seen them in the past. And we're going to increasingly see them threatening development and homes and communities.
Michael, thank you for your time. Michael Kodas, former firefighter, as a journalist, he's deputy director for the Society of Environmental Journalists, and he's the author of Megafire, The Race to Extinguish a Deadly Epidemic of Flame, which is 2 years old now, but was certainly prescient when you think of the last couple of California and West Coast fire seasons, or as he's pointing out, longer seasons than they used to be, as well as the intensity.